Welcome to this interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Esper Boel, the team leader of Project Cargo and agency by Royal Arctic Line in Denmark. First and foremost, Esper, welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Boel. Nice to see you again, and I'm happy to be here.
Definitely. Same for me. As I do with all my interviewees, I always give them a chance to let them elaborate a little on their background in shipping leading up to their current position. So without further ado, Esper, can you explain how did you get into this business?
Yeah, as you see my gray hair, I have to look way back in my memory. But I started back in the early 80s in general shipping, dealing with chartering coasters and agency within the European trade. And I have been in, during my more than 35 years, I've been in several companies, working with mainly with product cargo. And since 2009, I have been working with Royal Arctic Line with the base in Aalborg, but also from Greenland, of course, because we are, as you know, a Greenland-founded company owned by Greenlandic state.
Okay. And yes, it was just to fast track into that next question. Royal Arctic Line, for those who don't know around the world watching this interview, what can you tell us about Royal Arctic Line? It's like a state carrier servicing mainly one trade. Can you explain a little bit about the history and the coverage?
Yes, of course. Actually, the company goes way back to the 1700, uh-huh. where it 1774, where it was founded as a part of Kongelig Grønlandsk Handel, which was a Danish merchant company dealing with trade from Denmark to Greenland, and as part of that, there were vessel connections to Greenland, trading with the local inhabitants in Greenland. As such, and with the foundation we have today, the company was founded with the name in 1993, and since that we have also been a container carrier, but as we are the sole carrier to Greenland, we need to take everything in our trade, and that means we do transport a lot of machinery, a lot of out of gauge cargo, because everything that comes into Greenland is more or less it's imported. There are not any manufacturing companies in Greenland besides the building industry. So that means you have to import everything, like groceries to cranes, etc. Yeah. So everything goes for now via our company.
Okay. And
until a few years ago, it was the base was only from Denmark. It was mainly from Aalborg, and if you wanted to transport anything to Greenland, you had to go to Aalborg.
Okay.
But as you know, we have just recently started out with sailing from Aarhus also, and actually, we also comes from your home country, Sweden. We have a call every week in Helsingborg, mm-hmm. and the trade is lifting slowly up also. So the Greenlandic people have now possibility to import things directly from Sweden, and we expect that that we with the Aarhus call is now more connected to the rest part of the world with the feeder service they have and also the big Maersk and MSC 2M corporation out of Aarhus.
So. Okay, so your the type of ships you have in service, are they fully containerized or do you also have ships with crane? I believe I've seen some of them.
Yeah. In inland, we operate more than 13 ships, and inland in Greenland, all ships are equipped with cranes.
Okay.
And we even call many places without port facilities.
Okay.
That means that we have calls where we have accommodated a barge and a truck on board the vessels, and we transport the containers to the shoreline and drive the containers up to the to the shops where they have where they sell the products which we
transport. It's I've seen, and I'm sure our viewers will see some videos that we add to this interview later. It's quite a fantastic trade and an incredible island. I have never been myself to Greenland, but it's on the bucket list, and I suppose you've been up there several times, right?
Yeah, I've been there many, many times, and I have even had the pleasure to live there for almost 4 years. And a wonderful country, wonderful people, and very, very, very beautiful.
Yes.
But due to the corona virus again, God forbid it, I haven't been there since March last year. I arrived back in Denmark 2 days before everything was closed down.
Okay.
But due to the country and the very small population, they had to close the country completely down, and they have managed to be almost corona free all the way, but there have been some incidents, but luckily no deaths, nobody have died, and so they have coped very well with that, and now everybody is also vaccinated, so
that's really wonderful news. I mean, Greenland for most of us outside, and certainly people in Asia or elsewhere that doesn't know, it's the world's largest island, isn't it, Greenland?
Correct.
So Denmark, let's say, with our friends in Greenland, we are a bigger country than we normally are.
Exactly. And as you have seen, there are a lot of potential in the mining industry.
Yeah.
And we, of course, take part in that, and that is very interesting. And with that, we also do do a lot of transport of out of gauge cargo and as heavy cargo as we can lift. And that means we are able to lift cargo weighing up to 80 tons per unit. So once in a while, we have a lot of machinery, and for the time being, they are building completely new airports in the main city, which is city of Nuuk.
Yeah,
with almost 18,000 inhabitants,
They
are building an airport which should be able to receive overseas planes.
Okay.
So they are building a runway of 2,300 meters or so. And the same in the very popular tourist area, Ilulissat, which is just beside the fantastic ice fjord and the world's biggest, what do you call them?
Archipelago, islands. You mean all the islands and the fjords, like the archipelago and so on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the most productive ice fjord. I can't remember the exact number of ice which is sending out in the fjord every second, but it's massive.
Yeah.
Massive. And So a lot of tourists come there every year to see this fantastic and sail among the big icebergs.
It must be incredible. I mean, your route system, if you guide us through your route system, so you load your ports of call are where?
If we take the we have a weekly connection from Northern Europe, which can be connected also with our partner from Bremerhaven and Rotterdam.
Okay.
But we sail weekly. If we start from Nuuk, we call at Reykjavik and another port in Iceland before we go to Faroe Island. From Faroe Island, we call directly in Aarhus on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we are in Aalborg for shifting. And we are shifting about 1,200 TEUs in these 2 days and prepare the vessel for going north again. Okay. And then we take a short trip to Helsingborg on where we are loading on Thursday, and back in Friday in Aarhus, they complete the vessel and then they go northbound again for Faroe Island, Reykjavik and Nuuk. And from Nuuk, we have several feeder vessels.
Okay.
In the mid of Nuuk is on the west side of Greenland, so to speak, just below the polar circle. But almost in the middle, and from where we sent feeder vessels to north and southbound again.
Okay,
and so all the main cities in Greenland, they have weekly connection from.
That's
a new thing we have started to serve the east coast, which is have one city called Tasiilaq, and then there is a couple of others, minor settlements. We call from every 14 days, but that is out of Reykjavik. That means, so with our partner Eimskip, which is the partner in the vessel sharing agreement, which we have done.
Okay.
We are able to serve the East Coast on a fortnight basis, which we previously until 2020, we're only calling every third week and only in the season from June till December.
Okay.
After that, the ice is closing down the area. The ice that's coming from the North Pole, going down, and then it's. There have been a lot of improvements for our Greenlandic customers, and also
you cover more ground and with more frequency now. I think that's a fantastic development for this area. I mean, can you feel also from an international perspective that Greenland is looked more on from various companies, mining and strategic investments and whatnot?
Especially, say, for political reasons, it's a very, very interesting country. We have had an offer for being bought by Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but so far, it's still a part of the Danish kingdom. But but Greenland has, to a big extent, free...
they are
ruling, free ruling.
They have their own autonomy.
So of course dependable on Danish subsidies, but it's more or less they are free to decide many things. And of course the fully independency is under discussion, and it might be that it will come in the future, but
let's see. I hope we can keep the family relationship, because I think we still need each other, and Yeah, exactly. I certainly hope so. And the history we cannot just erase so quickly, I hope.
No. But the development is in the economy is very well functioning for the moment.
That's really good.
Fishing has been good, and there are a couple of mines operating there, very small scale. I would say we have the gold mine in the south, which is, and then there are some bigger projects in the pipeline. They are discussing with the rare earth products from the, but the problem is that it's situated in the south of Greenland in Narsaq, where the byproduct would be such as uranium or at least very sensitive products. Right. So that's why it's still under discussion if this Skjern, it's called Kvanefjeld in Danish.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Yeah,
it's still under discussion if they should start up this product. It will mean a lot of jobs to this southern area in Greenland, where fishing is not that big industry.
Yeah, but of course it's also from environment perspective. We know from, let's say, experience, some mining companies leave gigantic holes behind and never clean up after themselves. So it's a trade-off, I guess, between development and protection, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. And but they have to deposit, and they do agree on cleaning up afterwards. We have at least two or three, which is one is about to start, and we have one operating mine in near Gangerslusuak, the airport gateway so far to Greenland, which is in Sønderstrømfjord.
Okay.
And they have a well-functioning factory where they produce a product called feldspar or anorthosit, which can be used for the aluminium industry and also for producing paint, and which is a very, very white and clean product.
Okay, that's I must say that this is very interesting, all of this, and it makes me really tell myself to pull myself together and pay Greenland a visit. One of my final questions here, Esper, is, do you take passengers on your ships too?
Locally in Greenland, actually, you can purchase a ticket. We also, beside our cargo ships, we also run one passenger ship, which is sailing from March till December with passengers on the West Coast mainly.
Yeah.
So
very interesting.
Yeah. I know you are very, very very keen traveler.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I hope I can keep my friendship to you, and maybe you can arrange something.
For sure. For sure.
Okay, Esper. But listen, I want to say finally here, many, many thanks to you for giving input to this most interesting interview with the Royal Arctic Line and about your history and what you do. So thank you very much, Esper.
Thank you, Bo.
And to all our viewers, listeners, readers around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today has been the Project Cargo team leader for Project Cargo and agency at Royal Arctic Line in Denmark, a very renowned historic carrier with links to the biggest island in the world, Greenland. So stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.